I'll talk about it.
No. I'll take care of it. Just so you all know, I looked for my stool today. I know that none of... Could I have these lights just for a little while? But many of you, thank you. Many of you certainly were not here several weeks ago when I couldn't find my stool. And how many of you were here that day? The first day I couldn't find my stool. All right. So we can't turn those lights without the fans. Turn the lights out. Am I having fun yet? Oh, I guess I am. So anyway. No, I'm not doing it on purpose. Can we turn the lights out, please? Oh, boy. But anyway, several weeks ago, I couldn't find my stool, and I looked all over for it. And so the next week I came in, and I thought, I'm going to find my stool today. So I looked in this room, I looked in that room, I went back in the fellowship hall and looked all those secret places, and then I came in, and my stool was sitting right here. Hiding in plain sight. And then Rick and others began to have fun, and they just put it right here, and then he put it over here. Then they said, can you find your stool yet? So anyway, I went looking for my stool today because it's very important to me. And I found it, and let me show you where it is. Just for fun. I looked over here just for fun, and I thought, you know, I'm going to look in here just see what it is. And you can't get in. By the way, it's sitting right back there. And the only reason you can get in that far today is because I moved a box over. So, you know, the great philosopher Clint Eastwood once said, adapt, improvise, and overcome. Because one of the things you know about Bible school is things are going to be different. Sometimes way different. And I don't always wear shorts. I wore shorts today in anticipation of wearing this how do I describe it? There are no words to describe it. There are simply no words to describe this outfit. And it is inflatable. It has its own cooling system. It can be... let's just go on. Stand with me as I read the scripture today. It's in Colossians chapter 1. I just read, you don't have to open your Bibles. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for this time of the year when we come together to share with children and others about the Savior. We pray, Lord, that this week our minds will be clear, that our minds will be focused, and that we realize that we're here for one purpose and one purpose only, to bring glory to you. And Lord, may all we do, in everything we say, everything we think, be for your glory. Father, I pray that you'd be with us this morning, that you would continue to lead us in worship, and we will give you glory and honor and worship. Because only you are deserving. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Be seated. So anyway, I am in my head. I'm just a little bit different, and some of you know that. But I've added something. So the Bible response today is Gloria Deo. So whenever I say God's light promises, you say
Gloria Deo.
And at some point I'm going to add another phrase. It'll be positive. So let's just practice once. God's light promises.
Gloria Deo.
Pretty good, but I think you can do better. How are we going to expect the kids to do this on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and the rest of the week? How are we going to expect them to do it? To get excited? So we want to be excited today, and then I'm going to rat out Mike Jones in a minute. But God's light promises. That's better. I expect you to get better as we go along. The theme of Bible school is what?
Scar Force,
which is a takeoff on
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Stand up, Jones. Jones has the wrong theme. He's into Star Trek. So, and that's not Star Wars, is it? So sit down, Captain Jones. But anyway, we need to be able to have fun. Because that's what VBS is. VBS is all about fun, but it's also about the gospel. It's also about sharing the love of Jesus with the boys and girls. And anyway, a battle for the ages. Good versus evil. God versus the dark invader. The dark invader, really? Anyway, dark invader will work. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Because this is where the battle begins. The battle is on. See, God created Adam and Eve to enjoy the creation, to enjoy His presence. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. Mosquito. Really? Just a thought. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. So what was God's command to Adam? Don't eat of the tree in the garden. Was Eve created yet? The command was given to Adam, is that correct? And so, Dark Invader, the serpent, no, it's Dark Invader today, thank you. It's Dark Invader this whole week, is that right, Tori? All right. So Dark Invader comes to the garden, and he talks to the woman, and he convinces the woman to eat. And she convinces the man to eat. And so began the problem between men and women. Not so much. Who committed the sin? Who committed the sin? It was the man who committed the sin. It was the man who was commanded not to eat. But he was deceived by the woman. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Isn't that how Satan works today? Tries to just distort God's word just a little bit. Tries to say, "You don't really have to do this. You can do something else and still be pleasing to God." And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So the first sin, the first time that Adam and Eve were separated from God. But God did not leave them in that state of separation, did he? He sacrificed and he clothed them. But all was not lost. Verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Someone has called this proto-evangelical, which means it's the first presentation of the gospel in the scripture. Said that there would be enmity, division, bitterness between the woman and the serpent, the dark invader. But it was promised that the light, that someone would come through her line, through her offspring, to bring victory over the serpent. Isn't that what we need to know? We sing a lot of songs, and one of our favorites is "Victory in Jesus." Is there really victory in Jesus? Is there really victory over the enemy? Is there really victory over sin and death and the grave? Is there really victory over temptation? And you are all asleep this morning, aren't you? There is victory, and we need to celebrate that victory because God's light promises. I do this every year, and every year you are really bad at this. You would think over a period of time that we would get better. How many years have I, Tori, Kiko, preached the Bible school themes on the Sunday prior to Bible school? Since Jesus was a little boy, is that right? And so whenever I say these Bible points, you are supposed to say, "The Bible responds." So you ready? Get ready. Look up here. Everybody's eyes up here so that I know you're awake. And here we go. God's light promises. You are almost there. Almost there. See, every once in a while, if after you say Gloria Deo, if you want to throw in "Praise the Lord," that's okay too. Now, that's the kids won't be doing that this week, but I do that. You know, what's Gloria Deo mean? Glory of God. So if we're going to talk about the glory of God, shouldn't the next phrase be "Praise the Lord"? At least it is for me. And so if I get carried away and say "Praise the Lord" once in a while, that's all right, isn't it? If you get carried away once in a while and say "Amen" or "Praise the Lord," that's okay too. Because we're here to do what? We're here to praise Jesus. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. And so anyway, would you please get excited? I understand why we weren't excited about singing the songs. I do. I didn't know them. And neither did you know them. Is that right? It's hard to get, you know, we can read the words, but it's hard to get excited. The music was pretty good, in spite of Captain Jones back there. But it's hard to get excited about songs if you don't know the words. You've already seen them once, right? So tomorrow night, there's no excuse. We get excited. And the fact is, the more we get excited, the more those kids will be excited. And it'll keep going like that, and the kids will get excited, and then we'll get excited, and this place will just rock and roll. And that's the way it ought to be during Bible school. Kids need to know that you can have fun hearing about Jesus. Kids need to understand that there is nothing better in life than to hear about Jesus and to receive Him as Savior and Lord. Is that the way you all feel? So God's light frees. Man, you keep regressing. God's light frees. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There we go. I wish, you know, I'm going to come down here so I can see a little bit. Is that all right? Don't fall. Yeah, well, you've seen me walk before, haven't you? God promised that he would send someone to defeat the serpent. So we're going to look at that someone's being the light. In Colossians chapter 1, it talked about being transferred from the kingdom of light or darkness into the kingdom of light. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I am the light of the world. And so what we're looking for, what the people are looking for, is that light to come from God. But the dark invader isn't content with that. Because the dark invader hates God, hates everything God stands for. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 7, it said that the dark invader, Satan, wanted to be God. So he will do anything to defeat the plan of God. So dark invader wants to destroy God's people. But, God decides he's going to use the Hebrews. And the Hebrews find themselves where? In Egypt. And as they were in Egypt, they became slaves. For how long? 400 years. Is that right? Slaves for 400 years. And it looks like God's plan is stalled. But for whatever reason, God is just holding back until. And then he sends these plagues. And I'm trying to think of these plagues, but anyway, here's what happens. God sends these plagues, turns the water to blood. And the Bible says Pharaoh turned away. He sent frogs. And the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. He sent gnats. Can you imagine being in Egypt and all this stuff happening? I don't like frogs anyway, but they're everywhere. You know, the rumor is that the old wives' tale is if you touch these guys, you're getting warts. I'm not sure I want a bunch of warts all over me. Now, it doesn't say that in the Bible. That's just Tom. Haven't you heard that before? Just a thought. So then God sends gnats. Oh, gnats. Several years ago, I can't remember exactly, but maybe 2007, the Indians, which is my favorite baseball team, were playing the Yankees in the playoffs. And the Indians were behind, but the Yankees had a pitcher named Jabba Chamberlain. Jabba, that fits this week, doesn't it? Just a thought. And all of a sudden, these little insects started flying all around him. And he was waving his hands around, trying to get them away from him. They called time. Umpires called time. They brought out this bug spray. And they sprayed him all over with bug spray. And these things still kept coming. And he kept flailing at him with his glove and his hands. But he finally had to start pitching again. And as he was distracted, the Indians scored and won the game. And I'm thinking, bring back the gnats. And I'm hoping God sends gnats all this year. So anyway, but gnats, think about these. He brought flies. And in each one of these things, the Bible said, Pharaoh hardened his heart. The livestock died. They got boils. Wouldn't you think at some point in this progression of plagues that Pharaoh would get the idea? Don't you think the little light would go on? But it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Hail. Locusts. We have a friend that people across the street went camping. And they were up in Loudonville, I think, Marty. They were camping out up there and they said, it was hard for us to sleep. See, this year in Ohio, the 17-year locusts have showed up. And they're everywhere. And the sound of these locusts was so loud that they couldn't sleep. Imagine what it would be like to be in Egypt with all this stuff going on, one after the other, after the other, after the other, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. Darkness. And now it begins to say, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The firstborn. You know that story. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't listen. So God says, here's what I'm going to do. And the firstborn, except for those Hebrews who did what God said, who slaughtered the lamb, and who put the blood on the lintel and the doorposts, every firstborn male in Egypt died. And now Pharaoh got the message. And he let the people go. And it's not only did he let the people go, they gave them stuff to send them out. They gave them gold and silver and precious stuff so that, do you think God's providing here? So that they could support themselves going out. But now, Dark Invader got in Pharaoh's ear and said, you made a mistake. But God provided a way across the sea, didn't he? God's light frees. I'll tell you what, we're going to be here all day. That ice cream's going to melt until we get this right. The ice cream will melt if we don't get this right this morning. It's not going to happen. It is 10:20 in the morning, and you should all be awake by now. Is that right? Even if you brought your pillows, you should still be awake by now. So God's light frees. Okay. See, now we can move on. We can't move on from one point to the next until we get it right. Just bear with me here. The key verse with the idea of the second day is this. Joshua 24:15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, whether the gods your father served in the river, in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't it amazing? All the stuff going on in the world, all the political nonsense, all the other strife in the world, and our kids are going to learn that God's light frees. Here we go. Now, anyway, isn't that what kids need to hear? Regardless of what is going on, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God's light frees. We can count on the kids, can't we? God's light gives courage. All right, I'll pass that one. God leads this people to a special land. And Dark Invader is still looking for the one who's the light. And so God chooses this little boy who's a shepherd, who grows up. And when he becomes a man, even before that, God ordained him to be what? King. Now, was David the light? Was David the one who was promised by God to come and overcome Satan? And yet, Satan didn't know that. Satan is still looking for the light. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 17, let me read to you. Now Saul and they and all the men, this is verse 19 of Israel, were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard them. all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And you're thinking, nah, I wouldn't do that. Goliath is 9 feet, 6 inches tall. 9 feet, 6 inches tall. We had a picture of him up here on stage one day, and we had to do something to make sure his head didn't touch that ceiling. Big man. Big man. His spear, I can't remember exactly how much it weighed, but the end of it was like a bowling ball. Anybody in here carry a kind of spear like that? No, Sebby, you can't either. But this, and what happened when the people, when the army of the Lord, had this army ever seen God at work before? Has this army ever seen God deliver them? Didn't, not long before that, didn't the people come through the Red Sea? I'm thinking he leads them in, and I know those ancestors had gone, but the stories had passed down from one generation to another to another. And all of a sudden, Goliath comes out and says, "Hey, I'm the big guy around here. And if you have one of your guys come out and beat me, that's okay." What do the guys do? What's the army of the Lord do? They run away and hide. They're afraid. How about this little boy? I'm thinking Goliath is 9 feet, 6 inches tall. How tall do you think David is? I'm thinking the average Israelite was about 5'8". David? 5'4". Thank you very much. Are you looking it up or what? No. Kyle's our history major, by the way, doing his PhD in history, so Kyle, I should have said, how tall were they? 5'4". By the way, Belinda said the same thing. 9 foot 6 inches tall, 5'4". Wow. David said, "Hey, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. God was with me in these things. I'm not afraid of this guy." So he tells Saul he's going to go out and fight this battle. And I'm guessing all these cowardly army guys are going, "Oh, sure he is. You know, we've been in this stuff all our lives. We know what we can and can't do." How is it they took their eyes off God? Just thinking. God's light gives courage. See, I'm going to sneak those in every once in a while so that you have to respond. Just a thought. So here's this boy, and Saul gives him his armor, doesn't he? But the armor doesn't fit. David doesn't want it anyway. So David goes out to meet the giant, who again is 4 feet taller than he is. David takes this little slingshot, and he stops by the little brook, and he picks up 5 stones. How many of those stones did David use? "The Lord who delivered me here will deliver me then." So David goes out. Goliath laughs at him. David begins to swing the sling, fires off the shot, hits Goliath dead in the head. Goliath dies. Now the rest of the army is probably going, "Woohoo!" How did David face that Goliath? Do we have Goliaths in our lives? Do we have obstacles that doesn't look like we can overcome? How do we do that? How did David do that? God's light gives courage. And we need to understand that there is nothing we cannot do outside the leading of God. Nothing is too hard for those of us who trust God, is there? No temptation is too great for those who trust God, because God's light gives courage. Oh, well. See, now there's a problem all during the week, Kiko. Because every time you all say glory to God, God's light gives courage, and we say Gloria Deo, and what are these kids going to say? There we go. Just now when I kind of put them on the spot, they go, "Oh, glory to God." You know. The key verse is Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. God's light gives courage. God's light gives hope. Hey, we're getting better. We're getting better at this stuff. And that's okay, isn't it? You know, I think the Ohio State first game is about 45 days away. 45 days. And when they start playing, don't say anything, Kylie.
I thought you were going to be an OH reference when you told me we were going to repeat something.
But anyway, people are going to get excited, right? 106,000 people are going to be in that stadium. And a lot of other people are going to be in tailgate parties. A lot of other people, I'll be in my home watching the game, my own. Anyway, I won't go there. But when they do something really good, and they will, what are the people in the stadium going to do? It's even true in Knoxville. You know, they No. Anyway, what's going to happen in the stadium? They're going to go goofy. What's going to happen at my house? I'm going to get really excited. And so if I can get really excited about Ohio State football, shouldn't we be excited about the Lord? Shouldn't we really be excited about who He is and what He does in our lives? Shouldn't we be excited that God's light gives hope? Hey, we're getting it. God's light, I won't say it, so. Here's the thing. Jesus is born. Jesus is born. The light is born. And so the dark invader tries to do what? Tries to eliminate Jesus when he's a baby. So the wise guys go to Herod. Now this is my own version of the story, just so you know. The wise guys go to Herod. Herod says, we don't need another king. So Herod declares that every male child, 2 years old and younger, should be killed. And so that happened. And yet the dark invader didn't get the light. Because prior to that, God said, get up and go, and they went to Egypt. Isn't it pretty cool how God takes care of His people? Isn't it good that God has a plan? And if God took care of Jesus, listen, because He took care of Jesus, we know that He'll take care of us. We need not ever be afraid because God's light gives hope. And for those of us who know Him as Savior, there is always hope. I didn't say it. I get upset about things going on in the country. Rick mentioned the clown show that's going to happen tomorrow, the Republican National Convention. I try not to get involved in politics, although sometimes it's really hard. I try not to get involved in the rest of the stuff going on in this country, because when you read it and you get involved with it, you become discouraged, and you get disappointed. But we need to remember that in spite of all that stuff, we are not of this world. This world is not our home, the old song said. We're just a passing through. We need to realize that God's light gives hope. Not just sometimes, but all the time. Do you really believe that? Listen, it doesn't matter who sits in the White House. I know who sits on the throne. I know that doesn't matter who serves in Congress. I know who sits on the throne. And I know that God has a plan. I don't understand it. Sometimes I can get discouraged. Sometimes I get disappointed. But what I have to realize during all that time is that God's light gives hope. It is an amazing thing. Absolutely an amazing thing. Here's the key verse. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, the enemy thought He'd won. Dark invader thought that he'd won. Little did he know that in 3 days, up from the grave, he arose. And God was still in control. His greatest plans for man, the dark invader, were quickly going down the toilet because God's light promises the Savior. God's light frees, God's light gives courage, and God's light gives hope. What's the last one? God's light saves. God's light saves. One of the things our kids need to know, one of the things everybody in this room needs to know, is that the Savior is Jesus. There is no salvation outside of Him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But to as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become sons of God, even to those who believe on His name. Are those things true? There is no other name among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. God's light saves. And in spite of all the stuff you hear, in spite of all the stuff you hear on the news, on other TV broadcasts and radio broadcasts that some so-called pastors do, it's not health and wealth that saves us. It's not the give and receive that saves us. It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that saves us. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We're going to give kids an opportunity to call on the name of Jesus this week. That is my favorite night of Bible school. My favorite night of Bible school is Thursday when I get to talk to the third graders and fifth graders through the fifth grade about Jesus and what He wants to do in their lives. And we've seen God work in those lives of those kids. We've seen kids make professions of faith. Because of what you're doing in a classroom. Because of what you're doing with crafts. Because of what you're doing with snacks. Because of what we're doing as a people of God to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, all that working together, lets everyone know that God's light saves. We at least have some people trained this morning, is that right? Jesus rose from the dead, and that sealed it. Understand that Jesus ascended into heaven. And as dark as things look, one day He's coming again. And we win. I've read the end of the book, haven't you? I've read the end of the book, and we win. It might be tough getting there, but we win. The battle rages on, a battle for the ages, but we win. Dark invader is defeated and cast into the lake of fire. Could almost get excited about this stuff, Captain Jones. What do you think? Here's the key verse on Friday. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. He gets a good start with that one verse. When we've been there how long? 10,000 years. I want you to know that's just a pittance. We cannot judge eternity. And so maybe the best way to sing that is, when we've been there forevermore, bright shining as the sun. Just a thought. God's light promises. God's light promises. God's light frees. God's light gives courage. God's light gives hope. And God's light saves. Praise the Lord. Whoo-wee. You could almost get excited about this Bible school stuff. What do you think? I could almost get really excited. You guys excited yet? You all excited? Anybody over here excited about Bible school? Anybody back there excited about Bible school? Or do I have to come back maybe and wake some of you up? I'm just asking. I'm looking forward to Bible school. It'll be chaotic. It'll be hectic. You will get tired. you may get upset. Things will happen caused by the dark invader to keep us from doing what we need to do. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep focused on Jesus. Look, fix completely on who He is and what He does. And all those things, the things of earth, will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Just my own. God's light guides us. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for our teachers. We thank You for our workers. We thank You for everyone who's going to be involved in Bible school this week. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have a plan this week for the children who will attend. You have a plan for each worker. You have a plan for me. You have a plan for everybody involved in Vacation Bible School. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll look to You, that we would be people of prayer this week.